Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who coverest thyself with light as with a garment, who stretchest out the heavens like a curtain, who laid the foundations of the earth, that it should not be removed forever. The waters stood above the mountains at thy rebuke, they fled. At the voice of thy thunder they hasted away. They go down by the valley unto the place which thou hast founded for them. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle, and herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, an oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, where the birds make their nests. As for the stork, the fir trees are her house. Thou makest darkness, and it is night, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth. O Lord, how manifold are thy works! The earth is full of thy riches. So is this great and wide sea, wherein are things creeping innumerable. There go the ships. There's that Leviathan whom thou hast made to play therein. He looketh on the earth, and it trembleth. He toucheth the hills, and they smoke. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will be glad in the Lord. Let's bow our heads and pray. Loving Father in heaven, we come to you, O God, at your invitation, because it gives you joy to receive us. We are still in the holy hours, but if we've offended you, if we've violated the sanctity of the day, forgive us, O God. If we did it, we did not do it maliciously. We ask you to cleanse our hearts, we pray, because sin creates static that makes it difficult to receive transmissions from above. Father, I commit my life into your hands. I commit every faculty I possess, whatever little skill and talent I have, I commit to you now that you may use them for the proclamation of truth. Bless every man, woman, boy, and girl, dear Father. Touch each person individually. Let the word of life awaken in them a love for Christ and a desire for a place in his kingdom. Please, God, use me according to your will, I pray. In Jesus' name, let God's people say, amen and amen. Let us go to Exodus 4. We'll read from verse 10. The earth is the Lord's. Exodus 4, we'll read from verse 10. We're reading from the King James Version of the Bible. If you have that version, please read with me. Exodus chapter 4, reading from verse 10. When you found it, say amen. Read with me, what does it say? And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken to thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. We stop. Moses has been called by God to take a message to Pharaoh. Let God's people go. Moses gives to God a reason why he is ill-equipped and unable to carry out this function. I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Oh my God, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken to thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Moses is saying, I have a speech impediment, for you speech pathologists. I can't pronounce my vowels, so Pharaoh won't understand. There's a problem with my tongue, my hard palate, my soft palate, my whatever, and my teeth, and my lips, and my jaws. I cannot form the words. Listen microscopically to God in verse 11. Read for me. And the Lord, what did he say? Who hath made man's mouth? Stop. Now think with me. What did God say? Who hath made man's mouth? The mouth is an anatomical structure. Are you with me? Is God suggesting that the mouth is the only thing he ever made? What could he have said? Who hath made man's mouth? Let's add to the list. Who hath made man's brain? Who hath made man's hands? Listen to God summarizing the entire thing and declaring he forms every organ of the human body. Go to Jeremiah 1. Jeremiah 1, we read from verse 4. Our subject, the earth, is the Lord's. Jeremiah chapter 1, reading 4 and 5. You have that? Read with me. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I did what? Form thee in the belly, I knew thee. Stop. What is God claiming credit for? Come on, talk to me. He is claiming credit for the creation of a living being in a woman's womb. And I see an expectant mother over here somewhere. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. God says, I am the one, by my power, I put together, I cause the first cell to divide, whatever you call that, meiosis, autosis, whatever it is. I cause it to divide from 2 to 4, then 4 to 8, and whatever, 8 to 16, and the division goes on, and then they form specific structures. I am responsible for that. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. I made you, and I gave you a mission in the womb. Who hath made man's mouth? Said God to Moses. In other words, if something is wrong with it, I can fix it. Why? Because I made it. Now, this is not allegorical language. This is not symbolic. This is literal. It is by the power of God exercised through physical laws that these things are formed. Go to Psalm 94. Psalm 94. Our subject, the earth is the Lord's. Do you have Psalm 94? At least you're consistent in your refusal to answer me. So I give you credit for being consistent. You must not like me. I'm trying to figure out why. It must be my tie, but anyway. What book did I say? What chapter? What verse? 9. Read it for me. Come on, read loudly. He that did what? Planted the ear. Come on. Shall he not hear? And he that formed the eye, shall he not see? So to Moses, God said, who made the mouth? Now we discovered he made the eye, he made the ear. I planted the ear, I formed the eye. It is God who arranged for the glenoid fossa to be much smaller than the head of the humerus. It is God who arranged the way the body functions, that muscles contract, pull on bones, create movement. It is God. Now, since God said, I formed the eye, and I planted the ear, and I made man's mouth, God not only made them, but by virtue of the fact that he made them, what else can God claim? Ownership. Now, this is not symbolic. Ownership. What's our subject? Let's go to Psalm 24. Psalm 24, we'll read verse 1. It's a very well-known verse. Psalm 124. Who wrote the book of Psalms? Did he write all of them? No, he wrote some of them, most of them, not all. Who wrote Proverbs? Did he write all of them? No, he wrote some of them, most of them, but not all. All right, Psalm 24, verse 1. When you found it, say amen. Read with me. The earth is the Lord's. Come on. And the fullness thereof. Stop. Let's identify the fullness. What's the fullness? Give an example of the fullness. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness. Give me an example. Let's say you're from Zambia. What's Zambia well known for? You don't know copper. That belongs to God. Let's go to South Africa. What's South Africa well known for? Well, gold. That belongs to God. Now let's go to Botswana or Namibia or DRC. What are they known for? Diamonds and other things. That belongs to God. Let's go to Saudi Arabia. What's its fullness? Not sand. Don't say sand. What's its fullness? Oil. To whom does that belong? God. Let's go to Brazil. What does it have there? The rainforest. To whom does that belong? God. Let's go to Michigan, my state. Surrounded by four great lakes. To whom do they belong? God. Now listen to the Bible. The earth is, come on, say it, the Lord's, keep going, and the fullness thereof. But keep reading the verse. The world and they that dwell therein. Stop. To whom do you belong? God. At least my creation. At least. The world belongs to God. Listen to the way David expresses it. Let's go to 1 Chronicles 29. We'll read from verse 11. 1 Chronicles 29, reading from verse 11. Before we begin to read, let's recap. We've discovered that all anatomical structures are made by the power of God, functioning through physical laws established by God. You see, laws are servants of God to do His will. I need to say that again. Half of you were sleeping or looking for Chronicles. When you found it, let me know so I can repeat what I said. Laws, whether physical or otherwise, are servants of God that He uses to carry out His will. The law of gravity is a servant of God. You know, I fly a lot, and I always wonder how the planes stay aloft. There's a law called Bernoulli's principle, which says that when an airfoil is passing through a fluid, whether the fluid is water or air, the pressure underneath is greater than the pressure above, and that pushes the thing up. That's one of the reasons why a plane, well, just one of them. That was set in motion by God. Laws, physical laws, are instruments in the hand of God to carry out His will. All right, where are we now? First Chronicles? Well, let's finish the list. So God made anatomical structures. God made the ear. He made the eye. He made the nose. He made everything. Those are God's by virtue of the fact that He made them. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's. Well, He made the earth. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Okay. Let's add to the list of things that belong to God. And anyone who claims them from God is engaging in theft. Verse 11 of 1 Chronicles 29. Are you with me? Read for me. What does it say? Thine, O Lord, is the and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Stop. How many things are there mentioned so far? Five. List them again. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Power belongs to God. Majesty belongs to God. Victory belongs to God. Glory belongs to God. Everything of that nature belongs to God. The greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, the majesty belongs to God. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. All that is in the heaven and in the earth belongs to God. Now that's a sweeping statement. for all that is in the heaven and in the earth, says the verse, is thine. What's in the heavens? You take long. And there's no need for geniuses to take so long. What's in the heavens? Heavenly bodies. To whom does the Son belong? God. Why? He made it. You see, ownership, true ownership, is based on creation. That's why we brought nothing into this world. Finish it for me. We take nothing out. Because we made nothing. Let me say it again, particularly for those of you who have businesses. True ownership is based on creation. Ellen White writes, that which lies at the foundation of business integrity and true success is the recognition of God's ownership. You run a business selling cars, the cars belong to God because you never created metal. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. What else is in the heavens? Well, stars, heavenly bodies, yes. Planets, galaxies. What else is in the heavens? Air, okay. Really, okay. I thought it was on earth. All right. Air, fine. It may have some air somewhere. We don't know. The angels. He made them. Psalm 148, verse 5, thou commandest, and they were created. Patriarchs and Prophets, page 38, paragraph 3. Christ was one with the Father ages before the angels were called into existence. They were just called, and they showed up. They belong to God. All that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. And thou art exalted as head above all. Look at verse 12. Read with me, both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. Riches belong to God. Honor belongs to God. Are you well respected? That's a gift from God. And in thy hand is what? Power and might. And in thy hand it is to make great and to give what? Strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. Now read verse 14 for me. Now read, please, for once. Shock me and read. But who am I? Come on. And who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this? In other words, who do I think I am to give God something? Who do the Israelites think they are to give God something? Finish the verse now. For all things come of thee. Come on, read in. And of thine own have we given thee. Whatever you give to God already belongs to him, except your sins. So when you and I pop the wallet and put $20 in the offering plate and our chests begin to swell, it was God's money before you put it in there. The only thing a human being can give to God is what already belongs to him. All right. We said everything physical belongs to God. This is true. And someone said God made the brain. Then your capacity to study is a gift from God. Let me change the word capacity, or the word gift, to a trust from God. You see, when you give a gift, you don't have to respond to be responsible for reporting back to the giver. But when something is given as a trust, you have to report back. How are you using it? Your brain is a trust from God. When you fill it with movies, you have to explain to God, why are you doing that to his brain? Your lungs are a trust from God. And when you fill it with smoke, we have to give an account to God for the way we have used what is his and entrusted to us for his glory. Nothing I am saying is symbolic. I am speaking how? Literally. Historical Sketches, page 285, paragraph 4. What did I just say? Is there a law in Australia that says don't answer the preacher? I'm serious. Huh? Why don't you answer me when I talk to you? Is it contrary to your culture? You just don't answer me. You're good looking, but you don't answer me. Historical Sketches, page 285, paragraph 4, Ellen White writes, every youth, and that's all of you, I mean all of you, should be impressed with the fact that he is not his own. That his strength, his time, his talents belong to God. It should be his chief purpose in life to glorify God and to do good to his fellow man. His strength, his time, his talents belong to God. Listen to me carefully. This is not symbolic language. This is literal. The only thing that's ours is our sins. His strength, his time, his talents belong to God. We read in Psalm 94, verse 9, he that formed the eye, shall he not see? How are we using God's eyes? What are we looking at? What are we viewing on our iPads, our tablets, our smartphones, our whatever, Apple TVs? What are we viewing? To what are we exposing God's eyes? They are God's eyes entrusted to us to be used for His glory. Conflict and Courage, page 21, paragraph 5. This side. What did I say? Thanks for helping them. That's a Christian attitude. God created man for his own glory. God created man for his own glory. Not for yours or mine. Listen to this quotation from Ellen White, The Desire of Ages, page 20, paragraph 2. What did I say? It is one of the most powerful and beautiful things I've ever read outside of the Bible. There is nothing save the selfish heart of man that lives unto itself. No bird that cleaves the air, no animal that moves upon the ground, but ministers to some other life. There is no leaf of the forest or lowly blade of grass, but has its ministry. Every tree and shrub and leaf pours forth that element of life without which neither man nor animal could live. And man and animal in turn minister to the life of tree and shrub and leaf. The flowers breathe fragrance and unfold their beauty in blessing to the world. The sun sheds its light to gladden a thousand worlds. The ocean, itself the source of all our springs and fountains, receives the streams from every land, but takes to give. The mists ascending from its bosom fall in showers to water the earth, that it may bring forth and bud. What a beautiful statement. Every single thing created was created for the glory of God by serving some function. Only the fallen nature of man focuses on self. God made you for His glory. Isaiah 43, verse 7. I have made him for my glory. And so the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:31, you don't have to go there, you know it, I'll give you the beginning. Whether therefore ye, come on loudly, whether therefore ye, or, do all to the glory of God. You know why? Because that which you used to eat belongs to God. But let me be a little more sensitive. Let's talk about God made the ear and the eye. Go to 1 Corinthians 6.
1 Corinthians 6. You have it? All right. 1 Corinthians 6. Read from verse 15. Tell me when you found it. Amen. All right. Those of you who said amen, you read. What does it say? Know ye not that your bodies are the... Stop. Know ye not that your members are the your bodies are the members of Christ? Keep reading. Shall I then take the members of Christ, and make them the members of an harlot? Now, this is very, very serious business. Now, the introduction of the word harlot tells us we deal with the physical members, the members of the body. Are you with me? This is a member. This is a member, this arm. That's a member. The men in the church at Corinth would sleep with prostitutes. Paul is saying, look, let me be sensitive now. That's what I'm saying, not Paul. I'm saying, you can't take what belongs to God and use it to sleep with a prostitute. You know what member Paul is talking about? A man's reproductive organs belong to God. So does a woman's. Then they can't be used to glorify Satan. Let me say it again. Your reproductive organs and mine belong to God. The same way God told Moses, who hath made man's mouth? He could have said, who hath made man's... And since I made it, I claim legal ownership and I expect you to use it for my glory. And so Paul tells the men at Corinth, you can't sleep around with whores using what I gave you. Because they're mine. Let me say again, this is not symbolic language. This is literal. You and I belong to God. And our chief purpose in life is to so use what God has given us, this life, this body, these capacities, physical and non-physical, for the glory of God. But listen to Genesis 1:26. And God said, let us make man, how? In our image. Meaning that Adam had no image of his own. Let me say it again. I'll say it differently. A friend of mine in Canada, we were chatting once, he said to me, Brother Randy, when do I express myself? And I said, never. What do you mean? I said, listen to Genesis 1:26. And God said, let us make man in our image. In other words, everything Adam did was supposed to what? Come on. Was supposed to what? Reflect God. He had no expression of his own. Adam's job description, and if he hadn't sinned, that would have been his job description forever. Reflect God in everything you do. He had no expression of his own. He existed for the reflection of the glory of God. But when sin entered the world, we have the second image. Go to Genesis 5. Read verse 3. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image. Now we have a second image, the image of sin. If Adam had never sinned, everyone would have been born in God's image. Not Adam's image, God's image. What time is it? My young brothers and sisters, when you sit in your classroom and you study, like, as I call it, Dr. Shadow studies something. What is it? Anatomy and physiology or something. That magnificent brain you have that allows you to memorize all those details, that's given to you by God. Which means that upon completion of your degree, you should have determined how will I use this academic degree I acquired through God's gifts to me for God's glory. Not now I have my degree, let me go make money. No, money's fine. You got the degree using something God gave you. In other words, what's in it for God? The way you use your learning. You just graduated from architecture school. God gave you the mind, the brain. How will you use it for God's glory? Whatever you've done. Political science. How will I contribute to the creation of a just and righteous society that God may be glorified? Let me give you Ellen White's quotation again. Every youth should be impressed with the fact that he's not his own. If I loaned you my car to drive, now my car is silver, that's the color. It's a Hyundai or Hyundai, whatever you pronounce it. And when you bring it back, you bring me a Ford Focus and it's pinstriped and polka dot. Now, can you do that to my... No. You can't change my car. Why? It's not yours. As a matter of fact, you will drive my car more carefully than you drive yours. I will be more careful in your house than I will be in mine. Now, this belongs to God. I must be careful with this. Why? I keep repeating, it is not mine. By the way, let me cause a little trouble. It's still the Sabbath, a good time to cause trouble. You should take it nicely. Your wife belongs to God. Not you. Your husband belongs to God. Not you. Your children belong to God. Not you. Now they are entrusted to you that you might raise them for God's glory. Your house belongs to God. It's about time somebody said amen. Your limousine belongs to God. Thank you, sister. God bless you with a handsome husband. It all belongs to God. Somebody say amen. Now, will you give that to God? That's my question. Will you give to God what is His? If life belongs to God, if every life you and I have is God's, and we refuse to give that life to God, what are we doing? We're stealing. Any man, any woman who does not give the life to God is stealing. So when the preacher says, give your life to God, he's telling you, give to God what is really His, but has been entrusted to you to be used for His glory. And my appeal to you today is to live with the consciousness, I don't belong to me. The Bible is very blunt. Go to 1 Corinthians 6. It's very blunt. But that's the last place where we were, I believe. We read 15. Let's go to 19 and 20 of 1 Corinthians 6. Now, Paul writes that verse as though he is surprised and he is shocked that the members of the church are not aware of this fact. How does the verse begin? Come on, how does the verse begin? What? You know, Paul, what? As the young people say, I was like, what? I was like, stop. Paul said, what? Keep reading. Know ye not what? That your bodies, come on. Is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Keep reading. And ye are not your own. Keep reading. For ye are bought with a price. Keep reading. Therefore, glorify God, come on, in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The Bible says the reason, now here's another reason why you belong to God. You're bought with a price. That price was not at creation. That price is at Calvary. You and I belong to God twice. Creation, salvation. When Christ died, He legally bought the world back from Satan with everything in the world. Because Ellen White writes in Testimonies, Volume 1, page 341, paragraph 1, fallen man is Satan's lawful captive. Lawful. Because of sin. But Satan never created anything, so Christ was redeeming what he created. Know ye not that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, in other words, because ye are bought with a price, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And I've said that often enough. My brothers and sisters, those kangaroos belong to God. Why do you laugh? Go to Psalm 50 and I'll prove to you kangaroos belong to God. Psalm 50, we read from verse 10, and I'll close soon. Psalm 50, verse 10. When you found that, say amen. Read with me what Psalm 50, verse 10. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon the thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. In other words, the kangaroo is mine. The bison in the United States are mine. The reindeer in Finland are mine. The jaguar in South America are mine. Verse 12 is a very powerful rebuke. Read that for me. If I were hungry, come on, I would not tell thee why. For the world is mine and the fullness thereof. If I were hungry, says God, why am I telling you? You will only give me what's already mine. I want you to give to God what's His. Right now. You know, every store has a return policy. You guys, something you don't like it, you return it. Let's give back to God what's His. How is that? By a total surrender of the life to Him. How do I do that? I say it. Lord, here's my life. The Pharisee and the publican. How was the publican justified? He said, God, be merciful to me. As He said, if thou wilt believe in thine heart and confess with thy mouth. He said, how did Christ forgive the woman who was washing His feet with her tears and wiping them with her hair? He said, thy sins are forgiven. How did He make the world? He said, let there be this and let there be that. And how do you give your life to God? You say it and you mean it. You say, God, here is my life. Now help me to live it for your glory. Lord, here's my academic program. Help me to live it. Help me to study for your glory. Lord, here's my child. Help me to raise that child for your glory. Lord, here's my romantic relationship. Help me to pursue it for your glory. How many will say, Father, having been reminded that everything belongs to you, including me, I now recommit my life fully to you. Can I see your right hand? Do you mean that? Well, answer me. Do you mean that? Stand up. All those of you in college or university studying, raise your hands. You're studying something. Hands down, question for you. When you chose your major, whether it's anatomical sciences or architecture or chemical engineering, were you thinking of the glory of God? Don't answer me. Or did you choose it because it leads to a good job, a good salary, a big house, and a car? Why did you choose what you chose? Were you thinking of God? And if you weren't, you can change now and say, Father, this is for you. Anything committed to God is in the safest possible hands in the universe. No other vault is as secure as the hands of God. If your academic program was not originally chosen for the glory of God, make that change right where you stand. Father, this program, now I realize, is for your glory. And when I'm finished as an architect or whatever, I will use it to glorify you somehow. Who will commit your academic program to God's glory? Can I see your right hand? You will do that now for God's glory. Can I see your hand? Hands down, heads bowed. Father, Most of the Bible is literal, dear God, but we read the Bible as though it is overwhelmingly symbolic, which it is not. When your word says the earth is the Lord's, that's literal. And the fullness thereof, that's literal. The world and they that dwell therein, that is literal. When you told Moses, who hath made man's mouth, that's literal, dear God. Through the agents called laws, you formed the mouth, the eye, the ear, the hand, the elbow, the knee. And what you create belongs to you. Father, we belong to you. And I want you, dear God, through the agency of your Spirit, to impress upon these young men and young women that their lives are not theirs. The youth are quick to say, this is my life. No, it is not theirs, dear God. It is yours. My life is not mine. Help them to live their lives with the understanding that they are accountable to you, and your glory must be the object of the way they live their lives. Ah, Father, remove the veil from our eyes. Let us not see your word through secular eyes. Let's see your word through the eyes of the Spirit of truth. We have been given life to glorify you. And so, God, I ask in the name of Jesus, accept your sons and daughters. They have recommitted their lives to you. Those in schools have recommitted their education to your glory. Let parents recommit their children to your glory. Let them commit their homes as centers where the Holy Ghost is always found and angels pass in and out. Let everything about us, dear God, be for your glory. And as your servant writes in Historical Sketches, page 285, paragraph 4, every youth should be impressed with the fact that he's not his own, that his strength, his time, his talents belong to God. It should be his chief purpose in life to glorify God and to do good to his fellow man. Let this be the anthem of our lives, the glory of God. Bless my young brothers, Father. Bless my young sisters. They're under tremendous pressure in this society. Bless those who are older. Let them serve as reliable examples, Father. Let the words I spoke in my weak way remain on their minds during the night and tomorrow. With every day, let them renew this surrender. Let them live with the consciousness, my life is for the glory of God. Hear this humble prayer, dear God. And when you come, save all of us who have lived for your glory. I offer this prayer from my heart in Jesus' name. Let God's people say, amen and amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.